This is Audible.
Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Seasons of Love, a lesbian romance novel by Harper Bliss, narrated by Carmen Rose. Chapter 1. I try to recline my seat, but as soon as I push the button and apply some pressure, I feel the knees of the passenger behind me resisting my attempt. Perhaps I should have listened to Miranda when she told me to book a business class ticket. "But this is not a business trip," I'd said, to which she just responded with a sigh. Not that I would ever buy an overpriced ticket just to have some more room on any trip, or that I ever go on business trips. "Some more wine, ma'am?" a female member of cabin crew asks. "No, thank you." I hand her my empty plastic cup. I've had 2 units already. Despite this being the start of a long overdue holiday, I won't let go of my health principles so easily. I close my eyes, the back of my seat straight again, and think about the 2 weeks of absolute nothingness stretching out in front of me. "At the end of your life, you won't wish you had worked more, Alice," Miranda said a few months ago. "As your partner in this company, I demand you take 3 weeks off this summer." She'd offered me her phone and had me flick through some pictures of blue skies and a stylish house a few minutes from the beach in Quinto del Lago. "Consider it booked. How does August 1st till August 21st sound?" "3 weeks. Have you lost your mind?" I'd glared at her, but had difficulty keeping my gaze off her phone. The last picture she'd shown me was of the swimming pool, which was bathed in the most exquisite light, the water a reflection of all things summer. It didn't help that she came to me with this on one of London's more dreary days. "Fine, but it'll have to be 2 weeks. 3 is just ludicrous." Miranda had stretched out her hand and demanded we'd shake on the deal. Apart from a day here and there, and a long weekend in Paris or down the coast in Cornwall, I'm not much of a holiday maker. I'd rather work than spend too much time with my own thoughts, a work ethic that, in my humble opinion, has allowed Miranda to earn enough money to actually buy that house in the Algarve. But Miranda got her wish, and here I am. The plane is about to land at Faro Airport. After going through all airport shenanigans, another reason to only ever travel by car or train, I pick up my rental car and spread out the map over the steering wheel. The lady behind the counter said the car came with a sat-nav, but I like to find my destination the old-fashioned way. By the time I arrive at Miranda's house, I'm more than ready for a dip in that pool. And I have to agree with her, because as I park my car in front of the house, a sense of summer, of intense leisure comes over me, a sensation I've never experienced anywhere else, not for a long while anyway. I'm tired from the journey, but just arriving here engulfs me in an aura of relaxation. The house looks every bit as stunning as in the pictures. It's not overly big, but its white walls look picturesque against the blue of the sky, and the pool is surrounded by grass so green and lush that someone must water it on a daily basis. I hope they won't intrude on the complete privacy Miranda guaranteed me for the 2 weeks I'm taking up residence here. I only brought one suitcase, and I wheel it into the master bedroom, which looks out over the pool area. I inhale deeply, and let the stress of London, work, and the journey here wash off me a little with every exhale. Before I relax completely and enjoy the rest of this beautiful day, I should get some exercise. The flight was only 3 hours, but the entire journey took about 7, and my legs are stiff from sitting down too much. In London, my favourite and only means of exercise is an hour every morning before work on the Stairmaster I set up in my spare bedroom. It's a great way to catch up on the news and stay in shape. When I asked Miranda if there was any gym equipment in her house, she looked at me funnily, as though that was the most outrageous question ever, even though most hotels around the globe boast some sort of gym on their premises. "Just relax," Miranda had said. "2 weeks off won't destroy your excellent physical condition, Alice." It's not a hardship to have to make do with the pool. I'm not the world's best swimmer, but it would be good for my biceps, triceps, and deltoids, not to mention release the tension from my legs. I can be adaptable, I want to say to Miranda, but I'll have to save it for when I see her again in 2 weeks. After I've emptied my suitcase and given my clothes their rightful place in the wardrobe, I slip into my one-piece bathing suit. I also splashed out on a bikini with a loud floral print and, looking at it again, wonder what on earth came over me when I purchased it. A one-piece will do. The water is not warm, but it's not cold either. It's just the right temperature, and before launching into a few laps for sporty reasons, I float on my back, the late afternoon sun still strong enough to pierce underneath my eyelids. The pool isn't very long, so I count my laps until I've reached 40, after which I sit on the ledge, panting. A tall tree casts my chosen spot in shadows, and I breathe in to acquaint myself with the summery smells surrounding me. When Miranda first told me she was buying a house here, I accused her of being foolish with money. But sitting here now, I guess I'm beginning to understand. She's had this place for 18 years, has asked me to come here 1,000 times, and I see now that I was the foolish one for always having a good reason not to. But summers here were booked up with Miranda and her daughter spending at least a month in the house, a luxury I often scolded her for, and, after Alan left me, I was working all the time anyway. What was I going to do coming here on my own? And travelling with Miranda and her daughter somehow never appealed to me. I don't dislike children, but for relaxation purposes, I would never deliberately seek out their company either. When my stomach starts growling, I take a shower and head into the nearest village. I buy enough food to last me a few days and 2 bottles of wine. Just when I arrive back at the villa, my phone rings. Miranda advised me to turn it off and hide it in a cupboard, but that was simply one stretch too far. When I look at the screen, I see it's Miranda calling, maybe to check if I would answer. Of course I do. "Alice, isn't it glorious? Listen to this." She does something with the phone and I hear a buzzing noise. That's the sound of a lovely London rainstorm pelting against my office window. It's rather amazing. I lean against the table in the open-plan kitchen and I can see the swimming pool from here as well. How do you feel? How do I feel? Miranda learnt to not ask me that question a long time ago. Great. The irony is perfectly audible in my voice. Are you relaxed? She pauses. Because, well, there's something. It's not Miranda's style to do this much hemming and hawing. Is it Mr. Pappas? I knew I shouldn't. No, Alice, relax. It's got nothing to do with work. She clears her throat. It's joy. She's unexpectedly starting a new job in a week, and she'd like to enjoy a bit of summer before going back to work. Okay, then she should. I fail to understand why this upsets Miranda so much. She should be happy Joy has a new job, the way that girl flutters from employer to employer. Yes, well, the thing is, Alice, she's asked if she could go to the house, just for a few days, just for some much-needed vitamin D. Is Miranda talking about this house? She can't be here. I'm here. I was promised privacy and solitude. Joy wants to come here. For once, I don't hide the outright indignation in my voice. Only if you agree. I mean, the house is more than big enough for the two of you. She won't be a nuisance. I promise you that. She'll be at the beach most of the time anyway. You'll barely notice she's there. No, a little voice in my head screams. But this is Miranda's house. What am I supposed to say? Your own flesh and blood can't use it because I'm here. It goes against every rule of politeness I've ever lived by. Well, I start, but Miranda cuts me off again. It'll only be for a few days. She needs to come back and start work. I roll my eyes, the lows Miranda stoops to for her daughter, while a simple, no, the house is occupied, would have sufficed. I don't know Joy very well, I haven't seen her in years, but I guess Miranda hasn't stopped spoiling her after she graduated from university. It's fine, Miranda. I'll welcome her with open arms, but only because you're not giving me a choice. Miranda knew full well I wouldn't say no. It's probably much easier for her to make this phone call to me than to say no to her daughter. Children. Neither Alan nor I were very interested in pursuing a traditional family. I got all the satisfaction I needed from pouring all my energy into my career. Thank you so much. I owe you, Miranda says. I'm well aware. I'll make it up to you somehow, I swear. Miranda then proceeds to tell me Joy, who is apparently sitting next to her while she makes the call to Portugal, will book her flight straight away. She'll be there tomorrow afternoon. No need to pick her up at the airport. She'll get her own car. A rental Miranda will pay for, I'm sure. By the time I put down the phone, my relaxed state has all but dissipated. So much for my holiday. While I prepare a simple salad, I think of ways to make Miranda pay for this. She's the one who was so dead set on me going on holiday in the first place. It just goes to show where her loyalties lie. Blood is always thicker than the waters of friendship, even though we've been friends since before Joy was born. While I eat my salad overlooking the pool, I exceed my self-imposed daily alcohol limit by drinking 2 more glasses of wine. Chapter 2. Joy arrives in a bright yellow Mini Cooper, a vehicle I didn't even know car rental agencies provided, with just a backpack as luggage. "You travel light," is the first thing I say to her, which isn't very courteous, but I can't help it. I feel as though I need to make clear from the start that I don't fully agree with how my holiday is being rudely interrupted. "No need for a lot of clothes here." Joy shoulders her backpack and walks briskly towards me. "Good to see you, Alice. It's been ages." She opens her arms wide. Is she really expecting a hug? I can't even remember the last time I embraced someone. Before I even have a chance to think of an acceptable manner to refuse her hug, she's thrown her arms around me and pulls me close to her. I find this manner of greeting a mere acquaintance highly impertinent, and squirm my way out of her impromptu cuddle quickly. When I take a step back, she looks at me funnily. "Good grief, Alice. Do you have a funeral to attend or something?" I did throw on black trousers as Joy's arrival time approached and cover my upper body with a cream silk blouse. "Some of us like to dress properly," I retort, and let my glance roam over Joy's scantily clad body. She's wearing a tank top through which I can clearly see the contours of a black bra and a pair of shorts that barely covers her behind. She shrugs and heads into the house, dropping her backpack on the kitchen floor. "Mum has given me instructions to not bother you and avoid you as much as possible." She opens the fridge door and peers inside. "I promise I'll go grocery shopping tomorrow, but the food on the plane was horrible and I'm starving." She turns to me, the fridge door still open. "And gagging for a dip in that pool." She steps a little farther into the coolness of the wide-open fridge door. "Oh, gosh, that feels good." "Have you lost your mind?" I want to ask. "Has your mother not taught you how to save energy and behave responsibly?" But I've never been very adept at communicating my inner emotions, and I never had much need to. "Take whatever you want," I say instead. "I'll be in my room." "Thanks," Joy shouts after me. Already the effects of the one day of unwinding I got to enjoy are undone. A tightness has crept back into my muscles, and my brain is going into overdrive, coming up with ways to make the best of the situation. I lie on my bed, the French windows open to the pool area, and leaf through a Lee Child book absent-mindedly, producing no results. The next 5 days with Joy will simply be one of those occurrences in life I'll have to suffer through. Silently, of course, because that's what I do. I hear stumbling in the adjoining room. There's another bedroom on the other side of the house, but it doesn't lead directly to the pool area. I do hope Joy will at least have good enough manners not to make too much noise during the night. A little later, I see 2 legs appear in my field of vision. They're supple, their skin unblemished by age, and they patter to the pool, when I let my glance drift upwards along a piece of fabric that can hardly be called a pair of bikini bottoms. I can't believe what I see. Joy's back is bare. There's no sign of any string across her back. All I see is naked flesh. I don't have time to ponder this further because with a neat splash, Joy dives into the pool. Shocked, I sit up. Is this how she intends not to bother me? The nerve of this girl! I have to stop myself from reaching for my phone and calling Miranda. But all of this is Miranda's fault in the first place. And what is she going to do? Call her daughter and tell her to put on a top? That's even more unlikely than me joining Joy in the pool when she's dressed like that. My eyes are still trained on the surface of the pool, not because I want to see, but because I haven't been able to look away. So stupefied am I with Joy's choice of non-dress. All of a sudden, her head bursts through the surface of the water, her face slick and her hair wet, and she rests her arms on the edge. Are you going to take those funeral clothes off today, or what? She plasters a self-satisfied grin on her face. So much for my privacy. Perhaps I should move to the room at the back of the house, so she can't look into my bedroom every time she goes for a swim. I'm still too stunned to speak. Thank goodness her arms are just resting on the edge, and her nude torso is hidden from my view. The water's gorgeous. Joy tips her head to the side. Or are you going to sulk in your room all evening? Who does this girl think she is? To talk to me this way. Clearly Miranda hasn't taught her about respecting her elders either. Joy proceeds to hoist herself up out of the pool and sit down cross-legged in the grass, facing me, with her bare breasts on full display. To my great dismay, I feel my cheeks flush. I can only hope the distance between my bed and the pool is big enough so Joy doesn't notice. I shall continue to read my book. I'm happy with the ounce of dignity I managed to inject into my voice. Oh yeah? What are you reading? Joy just doesn't leave me alone. She's probably been showered with so much attention throughout her life that she can't be on her own for 5 minutes. Just the new Jack Reacher. I picked it up at W.H. Smith at the airport. I don't often allow myself guilty pleasures like these, but if anything, it seems like the sort of book Joy would like. That crap? Really? She squints. I hadn't pegged you for the type, Alice. You surprise me. Oh, and I presume your library is only filled with the likes of Ian McEwan and Margaret Atwood? I retort, before I even give myself a chance to think. My library? Joy chuckles. If you mean the one on my Kindle, then I guess, yes, my preferences in literature are pretty highbrow. With drops of water slipping down her cheeks like that, and her long blonde hair a tight, wet cap on her head, she looks like the least highbrow person I've ever seen. She probably attends raves and watches reality television, the greatest waste of time ever invented. It's hard to have this conversation while drops of water trickle down Joy's neck, slide down her breasts and pull between her crossed legs. Good for you, is all I say, not wanting to extend this awkward moment. Joy cocks her head, squints her eyes. What? I can't help but ask. I was just trying to remember how long it's been since I saw you last, and if you're already so uptight back then. Uptight? I clap the book I'm holding shut and throw it onto the nightstand. I didn't come all the way to Portugal to get judged by a teenager. I jump off the bed and start closing the windows. I'm 29 years old, Alice, Joy half yells. Haven't been a teenager in a very long time. Without acknowledging what she says further, I shut the windows on her, erasing this brazen girl from my field of vision, as though it can somehow magically make her disappear from the property. I stand by the window long enough to hear Joy splash into the pool again. The sound of carelessness, I think, of a recklessness I've never known. I switch on the air conditioning in the room because immediately it's too hot and stuffy with the windows closed, and I welcome the gentle whir that drowns out the slapping noises Joy makes outside. The blouse clings to the small of my back in the humidity. Perhaps she had a point there. While I slip out of my formal clothes, I contemplate changing my flight because this holiday will leave me more stressed than when I first arrived. In the end, it's stubbornness that makes me stay. I can wait Joy out. She'll only be here for a few days, and after she's left, the sense of relief and long-awaited solitude will bring me an altogether new kind of peace of mind. Chapter 3. A couple of hours later, I venture out of my room and onto the patio for a snack. I refuse to confine myself to the kitchen just because Joy is sleeping topless in a lounger on the other side of the pool. I wouldn't normally get out the wine at this time of day, but my nerves are frayed, and seeing as I'm trapped in the house with Joy, it seems like the only way to relax myself a tiny bit. As I dip bread into olive oil, my eyes wander. Not even in my 20s would I ever have considered taking off my bikini top, not under any circumstance, but I'm well aware that across generations things change. I have 22 years on Joy, and she might as well have descended upon Quinto del Lago from another planet. When I was 29, I had been married to Alan for 4 years, and he'd barely seen my breasts before we said, "I do." "I'll have a glass of that," Joy suddenly says, her eyes only half open. Does she expect me to serve her now as well? "Be my guest." I take my glass of wine and take a few gulps, hoping that my gaze wasn't trained on her chest when she opened her eyes. She gets up and walks towards the kitchen with her lips curved into a knowing smile. "You might as well make use of me being here." Joy, still topless, sits down next to me, cupping a glass of wine in her hands. "Shall I take you out later? Show you around? Are you going to wear more clothes for that occasion?" There's a bite to my tone. There's no way on earth I would go into town with Joy, but her words do spark the hope that she'll go out later and leave me in peace for the rest of the evening. "Does it bother you?" I can feel her eyes on me, but I stubbornly keep staring at the surface of the water. It's darker now that the sun is slanting down more. "I do apologize, Alice. I'm so used to it. It's more a reflex than anything else. Arrive at the house, take off my top. It's just the way we roll here. Always have." "Do you mean to say that Miranda sits here like, that as well?" "Of course she does. It's really no big deal. It's just nature." "Lord almighty," I whisper, trying hard not to imagine my oldest friend and business associate lowering herself gingerly into the pool with her chest bare. Thank goodness I never took her up on her offer to join her. "If it makes you more comfortable, I can put something on. I just didn't realize you would mind." I'm torn. I don't want to be called up tight again, but not having to sit here and drink my wine with a topless woman in her 20s would allow me to relax more. "I would appreciate it." I turn my head and shoot her a quick smile. "Oh, well." Joy pushes herself out of her chair. "Your loss, Alice." She winks at me and, barefoot, wanders inside. "My loss? What is that supposed to mean? It's as though the girl has come here for one single reason, to wind me up." A few minutes later, she sits next to me in the same sheer tank top she arrived in, no bra underneath, and although it isn't much more than she had on before, it does ease some of the stiffness in my muscles. Before the subject of conversation again goes somewhere I don't want it to go, I hijack it and start talking about work, always a safe topic. "Miranda said something about you starting a new job soon." "Yep." Joy pulls her feet up onto the chair and rests her elbows on her knees. "Social media advertising. I'll mostly be working on Facebook ad campaigns." I've heard of Facebook, of course, but I would never be caught dead on a platform like that. "Right," I say. "Sounds interesting." Joy just chuckles, then says, "I don't want to talk about work, Alice. I'm on holiday." She lets her legs slide off the chair and deposits her already empty glass on the table in front of us. "So, are you game? We can either walk around the lake, or I can show you the shortcut to the beach, or we can just go for a drink in town, although town is a big word for it." "I'm not sure. I'd rather. You have a date with Jack Reacher or something." She cuts me off. I was unfair to you earlier, by the way. I have read one or two Lee Childs. Who hasn't? And I even saw the movie, but, I mean, come on. Tom Cruise? For real? I'm not entirely sure what she's referring to, so I sit there mute. This, apparently, is another good reason for Joy to start giggling. Do you ever go to the movies? Not very often. So, what do you do for relaxation? She twirls the stem of the wine glass between her fingers. Quite often I go to plays and the opera. A museum once in a while on the weekend if there's an interesting exhibition. Much like your mother, I would think. I can't shake the feeling that I'm being questioned, that something about my personality or habits or the way I choose to live my life is under scrutiny. Mum? As far as I know, she hasn't been to the opera for more than a decade, not since she met Jeff. Ah, Jeff. Joy turns to me. I never got a chance to ask you. You're one of Mum's best friends, so you must have an opinion. What do you think of him? Miranda has been with Jeff for more than 10 years. Any opinion I ever had about him, and I did have a few at the time, has become irrelevant. They seem very happy together. That's not an answer to my question, Alice. Come on. She taps her fingertips on the tabletop now. Whatever is said here stays between us. I promise. I inhale deeply before speaking. I don't even know if I can trust Joy because, as has become overly clear since her arrival earlier today, blood is always thicker than water. And even though Miranda is my friend, we don't have the sort of relationship in which I would unabashedly voice my opinion on the dubious nature of the man in her life. He's an acquired taste, I guess. Joy shakes her head, a lopsided grin on her face. Good thing I'm rather adept at deciphering middle-class social diplomacy. Out of nowhere, she puts a hand on my lower arm and pats it. I stare at the spot where she's touching me. Open-mouthedly, I realize too late. So much for social diplomacy. Joy retracts her hand. He's a pompous, arrogant bastard. That's what he is. Joy looks me straight in the eyes. Then again, so was my dad. At least Mum is consistent in her taste in men. Paul was no such thing. Oh, come on, Alice. I know. Don't speak ill of the dead and all that. But I'm his daughter, and very much like him when I come to think of it. So I'm allowed to speak my mind. Mum likes grandstanding men who are full of themselves. It's a fact. I feel a bout of laughter rise within me, but I don't know if it's appropriate to chuckle at the memory of Joy's deceased father. Obviously, you knew him much better than I did. Joy rises to her feet. How about we save our trip into town for tomorrow? I'll get some more snacks and wine, and we can just stay here and chat. You don't have to stay in on my account, I'm quick to say. It's no bother. I'm a bit tired from travelling anyway. No bother. There goes my quiet evening. Sure. I empty my glass of wine to mask any potential signs of disappointment on my face. While Joy goes inside to fetch the food and drinks, I remind myself to ask her, as soon as the occasion arises, when exactly her return flight is scheduled. I can't believe this is your first time here, Alice, Joy says, after pouring me another glass of wine, which I don't intend to touch a drop of. I'm not much of a traveller, I guess. I look out over the pool, now caught in shade. Still, it's barely 3 hours on a plane. Joy takes a sip, then continues. My granny loved it when Mum bought the house. She came up here at least 3 times a year. Is it really necessary to compare me to an OAP? I have half a mind to scoot out of my chair and retreat back to my room, but it's a beautiful evening, and I want to see the sun go down. Instead, I do drink from the wine. I bought it, after all. I'm sorry, Alice. I didn't mean to do that. Joy has an amused expression on her face, as though she's taking great pleasure in winding me up. I have no doubt she is. I'm not so sure of that, I reply, before grabbing a slice of the ham she deposited on the table. If I keep chugging back wine like this without eating anything, I'll pay for it in the morning. I swear to you, I'm on my best behavior. Should I try to better it further? You can do whatever you want. I start pushing back my chair, having changed my mind about watching the sunset. The sun has only gone down behind the trees, and it will be a good while before we're given a glimpse of orange glow on the horizon. I can't wait that long, not in the company I'm currently in. I'm going inside. What? No, come on. Joy jumps out of her chair. Let's try again. Please? I know I'm an annoying brat. She cocks her head and protrudes her bottom lip. Give me another chance? If we're going to be sharing this house, I expect to be treated respectfully. I sound like a headmistress scolding a child, which makes me feel utterly ridiculous. Nothing but respectful language, from now on. I promise. Joy puts a hand on her chest, just above the curve of her breast, only attracting more attention to her see-through top. Fine, I say, but only because I think I may detect a glimmer of remorse in her eyes. It's not easy being this obnoxious all the time, you know, Joy says, then paints a smile on her face. But none of us are perfect. That's certainly true. I cast her a severe glance before pulling my chair closer to the table again. We sit in silence for a while, a silence during which I feel compelled to empty half of my glass of wine. Though I'm grateful for the moment of quiet, the silence starts getting to me because it's awkward sitting next to someone and not making conversation. I'm glad I did finally make it here, I say, while twirling the stem of my glass between my fingers. It's beautiful.
I know.
Joy has changed her tone of voice. It's gentler, less obnoxious. I was so lucky to be able to come here as a child. Years ago, Alan did suggest we take a vacation here. I refused, as usual. And he started his affair with Cheryl not long after, I add in my head, while wondering how these words made their way out of my mouth. It must be the wine. I've had too much, and it sneaked up on me.
Do you mind me asking why?
Joy seems to have injected even more tenderness into her voice, and that edge of brashness she subjected me to earlier has disappeared altogether. I glance at my almost empty glass of wine and, once again, vow to stop drinking from it. Work, I say, then push my chair back again. I'm going to get some water. Nope. Joy is on her feet before me. I'll get it. Sit back down. It's as though she's become scared I'll flee to my room and leave her to witness nightfall by herself. While she's in the house, I look up to the sky, to how it's starting to morph into that deep inky blue that sets the day apart from the night. Here you go. Joy has brought out a bottle of water and two glasses and makes a show of pouring us each one. Despite knowing better, I drink from the water as though it has the capacity to dilute the alcohol level in my blood instantly. My cure for most things in life has almost always been abstinence, so I know I'm in trouble, having already far exceeded my daily unit limit. When I look at Joy, I can see her straining to keep her mouth shut, as if it's chock full and ready to burst with questions she wants to ask me. Spit it out, I say, curving my lips into an amused smile this time. What? Joy asks. The wine? No way, Alice. It's too good for that. I burst into a mild chuckle. Whatever it is you want to ask me. Perhaps it's the relaxing atmosphere, or the sun dipping lower on the horizon, or too much wine consumed, or all of these things together. But now that Joy has toned it down a bit, I'm actually beginning to enjoy this conversation. I've stepped so far out of my daily life, I might as well talk about a few things I barely even think about in London anymore.
Okay.
Joy eyes me while refilling our wine glasses. So you'd rather work than take a holiday in this gorgeous place?
That's interesting.
That's not a question. Ostentatiously, I grab my wine glass and drink again, ignoring the vow I made earlier. Joy chuckles. Let me rephrase, Alice. Did you really prefer sitting in an office in rainy London over soaking up some lovely rays of sunshine in the Algarve with your then husband? She looks at me triumphantly.
Alan and I start. We lived our own lives, or at least I did. Work was, is my life. That's why, in the end, I had to stop blaming him for leaving me for someone not only a lot younger than me, but willing to pay more attention to him. After saying those words out loud, I actually need another sip of wine. That's very honest of you. The triumphant smile has left Joy's lips. She probably didn't expect me to open up about Alan so much. Truth be told, nor did I. Joy's effect on me seems to be changing exponentially the more wine I drink. While sunlight has given way to approaching darkness, she has somehow transformed herself from an aggravating presence into an easy conversation partner. It's the truth, though I didn't see it that way when he left me. I eye both glasses in front of me and opt for the water this time. I suddenly dread having to get up, afraid I won't be able to make it to my bedroom in a straight line. Hindsight and all that, Joy says. She stares into her wine glass gloomily, giving me the impression she's reminiscing about her own amorous past or present. When I close my eyes briefly, my head starts to spin. As soon as I open them, I reach for the water glass again and gulp down the remaining liquid. I take it you're not a heavy drinker, Joy says as she refills my water glass. I can enjoy a good glass of wine, but other than that, I don't have much use for alcohol in my life. I slap my palms onto the armrests of my chair, a bit more heavily than expected. Speaking of which, alcohol, I mean, I believe it may have got the better of me. I really do need to go and lie down now. By the time I make it out of my chair, I'm actually a little sad to leave Joy to enjoy the rest of the evening by herself. Will you be okay? Joy asks, with a hint of worry in her voice. Certainly, I say, though my legs feel a bit wobbly. Good night, Joy. See you tomorrow. Instead of heading towards the French windows of my bedroom, I take the longer inside route through the kitchen, just so Joy doesn't have to witness me staggering drunkenly and very unladylike along the patio. Chapter 4. I wake up the next day with my brain banging against my skull and the foulest taste in my mouth. The sun comes through the windows. I didn't even close the curtains. I bring my hands to my head and start to massage my temples, as if it will make any difference. I more than exceeded my 2 units last night. When I gently move my head to the left and my gaze catches the alarm clock, I'm appalled that it's past 10 a.m. What on earth got into me? How many more days before Joy leaves? I might have asked her last night, but if I did, I don't recall the answer. By the time I manage to get out of bed, take a long, cold shower, and put some clothes on, I find Joy in the kitchen brewing coffee. "The lady has awoken," she says. I don't know why, but I feel my cheeks flush at her comment, even though she's wearing her bikini with top this morning. "You're a bad influence, young lady." "I'll take the blame," she points at the coffee machine. "Some of this and a Panadol, and you'll be good as new." I shake my head. "I don't take unnecessary medication." "Of course you don't," that knowing smile again. "But I bet you don't usually have more than a couple of glasses of wine either. I would call this extraneous circumstances, Alice. Plus, you only have so many days here. Don't waste one on a hangover you can easily cure." "Gosh, why didn't you become a lawyer? You certainly have the mouth for it." "I feel responsible for your physical state, so let me take care of you. Okay?" Undeterred, she pours a mug of steaming coffee and hands it to me. "Why don't you take this out on the patio, and I'll bring you everything you need?" "I'll be fine." "No buts. Go on." Joy actually has the nerve to pat me on the small of my back and coax me in the direction of the terrace. I have no energy to fight her. I miss the early morning coolness, and it's already hot and muggy in the shade of the patio. I sit down in the same chair as the night before, and just the act of being in the same spot triggers a figment of a memory. Did I talk about Alan? Here you go. She deposits a big bottle of water and a box of painkillers on the table. There's more coffee if you want it. I'll make a quick run to the shop and get us some much-needed brunch ingredients. A swim can work wonders as well to make you feel human again. Just watching Joy and her boundless energy makes my head hurt again. How are you feeling? Perfectly fine. I can handle more than a bottle of wine. She shrugs. Do you need anything else from the shop? I can't remember the last time someone else did my shopping for me. No, thank you. Okay. Joy quickly walks inside, grabs her purse and car keys. I'm cooking tonight, by the way. I want to make amends. Are you going to the supermarket dressed like that? Sure. I let my gaze wander over her body and wonder if she's doing this to deliberately antagonize me, even though I know, deep down, she's not. The color of her bikini is hot pink, and it barely covers the essentials. I refrain from shaking my head. At least she's not wearing flip-flops to drive. While Joy is away, I take one of the Panadols and wash it down with as much water as my stomach will hold. Then, while my eyes follow a tiny bird that hops up and down the side of the pool, I ask myself if I had a good time last night. Reluctantly, I agree that I did. Despite the brusque, in-your-face nature of Joy's arrival, and her bratty retorts, and her overall directness regarding just about everything, she's not too bad to have as company. It could have been worse. She could have brought a boyfriend, or a friend, and have made me feel completely obsolete. By the time Joy returns with eggs, bread, cheese, and bacon, my headache has mostly retreated. How are we feeling? Joy asks, as I stand up to give her a hand. Joy immediately wags a finger at me, not waiting for my reply. Nuh-uh. Sit back down, please. I'm nothing if not a woman of my word. I got you drunk, now I will nurse your hangover. That's how I roll. Meekly, I fall back into my chair, admitting to myself that having things done for me, even the simple act of making breakfast, is rather nice. The eggs Joy serves me are just right, not dry and not overly runny either. How's that for service? She asks, once my plate is clean. I could get used to it, I concede. You have me for 3 more days. I've already told you to make the most of it. Joy flashes me with one of her toothy grins. I take it you won't be venturing out today. I've been here 2 days, and I've barely left Miranda's property. Pool and Jack Reacher for you, she goes on. I honestly don't mind. I could do with the same myself, minus Jack, that is. She winks at me and starts clearing the table, without me even having responded to any of her questions. Gin o'clock, Joy says, when the pool is bathed in shade. Would you care for one? I've spent my day alternately dozing in the shadow of a large tree and gingerly taking dips in the pool, not swimming for exercise, but for recovery. Heavens, no. Are you sure? I hate drinking alone. Joy has taken off her top again, claiming that tan lines are so 90s. I'm positive. Between slumbers, I've seen her dive in and push herself out of the pool, and I guess I'm becoming used to her state of undress. It seems to bother me less and less. I'm going to dress for dinner. There's really no need. It's just us, and I'm not planning on putting on my dinner jacket. Need or not? I push myself out of my sun lounger. It's how I like it. In my room, I peel my bathing suit off me and ponder wearing the bikini I brought tomorrow. I look at my reflection in the mirror. I'm certainly in much better shape than Miranda. I never understood how other people can be so careless with their bodies, drinking countless units of alcohol, eating fried food, and failing to exercise at least 4 times a week. I don't have time to occupy myself with all of that, Alice, Miranda said once when I had questioned her about the topic. I have a bloody life to live. Joy, who seems to easily slip into a Southern European lifestyle, has consumed at least 3 G&Ts, as far as I can tell, by the time she serves dinner at 10 to 9. By then, I've sat at the table in linen trousers and a freshly ironed top for an hour and a half, patiently waiting while sipping sparkling water. "Here you go, madam," she says, as she plants a, I must admit, divine-looking plate of food in front of me. Salmon a la Jamie Oliver with crushed potatoes and minted greens. "You're quite the little chef." I look into Joy's brown eyes for an instant and see no evidence of the three cocktails she has already consumed. "Can I serve you some chilled white wine with that? It's a local one, very easy on the palate." Despite myself and my reluctance to drink anything but water, I chuckle at the mock posh tone of her voice. "I'll take that as a yes." Joy heads back inside and brings out a bottle of wine stuffed into a cool bag. "You're a really bad influence on me." While I take a sip of the wine, I look into her eyes again and see how they glimmer with mischief. "You've had enough margin of error for that. I hardly think you'll leave here a bad girl, Alice." Joy holds my gaze for a few seconds. I can't help but smile again. "This is absolutely delicious. Who taught you to cook?" "Certainly not Mum. I spent a lot of time in the kitchen with Dad before he got too sick. After that, I guess I just taught myself. There are entire YouTube channels dedicated to teaching people how to cook. Countless apps with recipes. I sometimes wonder how anyone learned in the olden days." "The olden days? You mean when I was younger?" By now I know she's goading me, and I play along. "Well, you didn't have the internet when you were learning how to cook." "We didn't have it, and we didn't need it. How many hours today did you spend glued to your mobile phone? It seemed as though every time I opened my eyes, you were entranced by it. Checking up on me, were you?" It's sudden remarks like this that make me feel most ill at ease. Nevertheless, I raise my eyebrows and wait for her response. "I can tell you exactly, because there is an app for that." Joy reaches for her phone, touches the screen a few times, then shows it to me. 2 hours and 45 minutes, she says. A bit much, I must admit. But I am on holiday, and Candy Crush isn't going to play itself. She puts her phone to the side. "Maybe I'll go on a digital fast. Then you will have to entertain me, Alice. You can start by picking up the story about Alan where you left it last night." "I'm afraid I have no recollection of that," I lie. During the course of the afternoon, snippets of conversation have come back to me. "You can't fool me. Granted, you can't hold your liquor, but you didn't drink that much." "Maybe not. But I really don't feel like devoting any more time to talking about my ex-husband." "Fair enough." For a good few minutes, the only sounds are made by us eating. Since she arrived, we've been in each other's company. I haven't known her to be quiet for this long. "I'd react the same way if you asked me about my ex. Alex is one of the reasons I wanted to come down here, away from everything and everyone in London." Miranda never mentions Joy's boyfriends, so this is the first I hear about Alex. "Did he leave you for someone half his age as well?" Joy huffs out a breathy chuckle. "Hardly." She puts down her fork. "And Alex is not a he, all woman, last time I checked." "Oh." Now I'm truly stumped. I have known Miranda for 30 years. We've been business partners for 25. Never has she given me the slightest tidbit of information about her only child's sexual preference. "You didn't know?" Joy falls back into her chair, an amused smile playing on her lips. "That doesn't surprise me. She hasn't fully accepted it yet. I really don't know why she has such a hard time with it. To her credit, I only came out 2 years ago, and sometimes it takes time for parents to readjust their ideas about their children and their dreams for them." "I do get that." The carefreeness that has characterized Joy's tone of voice seems to have disappeared for the first time. She pulls up her shoulders. For now, she just refuses to talk about it. But I think she'll come round in the end. "I'm so sorry. I had absolutely no idea. We haven't fallen out. I mean, she still does my laundry every week, for Christ's sake. She'll wash my knickers, but she won't talk about my love life. How's that for good old Britishness?" Were you and, Alex together for a long time?
Nah, just a few months.
It was never going to be serious. I'm not that cut up about it either way. I just needed a break from everything. Clear my head before I start this new job, you know? I nod, despite not knowing at all.
So thank you very much for allowing me to come over. Did Mum have to be very persuasive? I know you value your privacy. I want you to know that I really appreciate you letting me crash your holiday.
I was reluctant at first. I've lived alone for a very long time and I'm quite set in my ways, but it's quite fun to have you around. I'm surprised by my own words. Perhaps Joy's tiny display of vulnerability has increased my liking of her, and she has utterly spoiled me today.
How about some night swimming, then?
What? She keeps doing this, keeps springing the most improbable suggestions on me when I least expect it. That's why I don't bother dressing up for dinner. The lure of water is too great after dark. We can take a torch and head over to the beach. I promise you, it'll be glorious.
I really don't think so, Joy. I start collecting our plates. Just come with me to the beach, then. It's so special this time of day, so quiet, and I know just the spot for some privacy. I've been coming here a long time. I want to show you. It'll be an adventure.
Joy quirks her eyebrows into a strangely touching quizzical shape. She has my sympathy now, and I find it hard to say no.
Fine, but I'm not going into the water.
The short cut to the beach proves to be an uneven dirt path full of dangerously loose stones and tricky little dips. En route, I scold myself for being so unwise as to being fooled into doing this after dark. Joy uses her phone as a guiding light, while I carefully pick my way to the beach with a proper torch, although the illumination it provides is not nearly enough for the rough terrain I find myself on.
Almost there, Joy says.
She's leading the way, balancing a beach bag with a couple of towels and a bottle of wine she insisted on taking. She's wearing a bright white T-shirt with nothing underneath and a pair of bikini bottoms. I'm still in my dinner outfit from earlier. Just as extreme fatigue, a leftover from this morning's hangover, hits me, Joy stops and says,
"Ta-da!"
But it's too dark to see anything, really, except black sea on black beach. I'm not immediately sure what is so spectacular about this. Watching Joy dart onto the beach also makes me wonder what the hell I'm doing here. This is something young people do when they are still brazen and spontaneous. I haven't been either in a very long time. Still, I'm here now. So I follow Joy onto the beach. My sandals instantly fill with sand, and I remember why I'm not a beach person. When I reach the spot where Joy has set up camp, two towels spread out next to each other, she's already taking off her top. Just as she tosses her T-shirt onto the towel, she glares at me, her eyes shiny in the night, and says,
"I'm doing you a courtesy, Alice. When there's absolutely no one around like tonight, I'd usually take off my bottoms as well."
"Well then," is all I can say.
"Do yourself a small favor," Joy continues. "Roll up those trousers and at least dip your toes in the water."
She cocks her head and stands there, looking at me for an instant, her hands at her waist. Her chest rises and falls quickly.
"All right.
Because what else am I going to do? Sit here on my own in the dark?" Joy doesn't wait for me. In a flash, she's off, out of my sight, swallowed by the darkness of the night. I roll up my trousers as instructed, take the torch and head towards the water. The roar of the waves drowns out any other sound there might be. But it's just us here tonight, and I let my torch train over the water, looking for Joy. She's diving into the waves, pinching her nostrils shut with her fingers as she goes under, doing a somersault before emerging from the sea. Perhaps I'm in a poetic mood, but the image strikes me as one of pure, uninhibited happiness. I remember myself at 29, already so serious, so consumed with work. I would never have ducked into a wave like that. Joy has had enough of somersaulting and heads towards me. The closer she gets, the less of her is covered by the water,
and the sight of her shocks me. It's nothing I haven't seen before. Joy all wet, drops of water raining down her bare breasts, but the emptiness of the beach and the water immersing my ankles and then retreating, the repetitive motion of it somehow soothes me. And that funny feeling, one I haven't experienced in decades, when a hangover is finally flushed from my body. The unexpected pleasure I've taken in Joy's company. All of these strangely converge within me and make my stomach tingle, as if the sight of Joy walking towards me like that is one I've been waiting for my entire life. Embarrassed, I look away and gaze at the stars, which are plenty, while I wait for this foolishness to flee my brain. "Aren't you bummed that you didn't bring your bathing suit now?" Joy presses water drops from her long hair with a backwards movement of her hand, pushing her chest forward. I hum, trying to hide my discomfort. "Just take off your clothes, Alice. There's no one here. I won't look. I promise." She shoots me a wink, and I'm not the sort of person who can respond to this playfully. "I think I'll head back. You enjoy yourself." "What? No, 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 no." Joy takes a few steps towards me, the water splashing up around her legs. "Stay. I lugged that bottle of wine all the way down here. You know I hate drinking alone." "I'm very sorry, Joy. I'd really rather head back. I'm tired. I want to go to sleep." "What's wrong?" It's absurd to have this conversation here, both our feet in the water, waves rolling in around us. "Nothing." But I can't stay. Not after that unsettling sense of losing control over something I've been holding on to, perhaps ever since Alan left me, or perhaps since forever, sneaked up on me. "I'll go back with you then. Just let me dry off." "No, really, it's fine." I need to be alone, walk it off, have the house to myself for a little while, at least long enough to shake this off without Joy's noises filtering through my bedroom wall. "Be careful then." Joy touches her fingertips to my upper arm. It's the second time today she has done something like that. I'm not used to that at all. "I will. Good night." I turn around, secretly dreading the walk back on my own. But I don't have a choice now. Chapter 5. When I hear the knock on my door at 9:15, I have been awake for hours, but I have been afraid to get up and face Joy. "Alice, are you awake?" I shuffle upwards, straightening my nightie. "Yes, not to worry," I shout. "Can I come in?" I cover as much of myself as I can with the sheet. "Sure, but I'm fine." The door opens and Joy's head peeks through. "Do I owe you an apology? Was it something I said or did?" She accompanies her words with a goofy grin. "I shouldn't have insisted you take off your clothes. I realize that now." She pushes the door open farther and leans against the frame. She's wearing a flimsy tank top, barely worth the name, that covers only her breasts and nothing of her belly. Her skin has already turned darker, and it seems to shine with youth. "Always the uptight one," I joke, desperate to change the topic. "Does your offer to show me around still stand? I would love to explore the area a bit." "Yes, I know just where to take you. Are you okay to drive?" I know myself. I'll want to have a drink on the way, and I don't want to chauffeur you around when I do.
"No problem."
"Eggs? I can make my own, but thank you for asking." "Let's aim to leave around 11. There's fresh coffee in the kitchen." "You're one of Mum's very best friends. Yet I hardly know you," Joy says, while fiddling with her phone, trying to connect it to the car's Bluetooth system. We've been driving for a good half hour on our way to Sagres, and all the radio stations quickly proved inadequate for Joy.
"Ah, I think it's working. What are you in the mood for? Some Bruce Springsteen?"
I shoot Joy a glance. I had expected her to just put on some deafening dance music.
"I happen to love Bruce Springsteen."
"Yeah?" There's surprise in her voice.
"What's your favorite album?"
"Nebraska," I say without hesitation. "Gloomy." Within seconds, the mouth organ of the album's title song starts playing. You have my favorite record readily available on your phone. What can I say? I like old things, Joy says. I have my eyes focused on the road, but I can hear the smile in her voice. Mind you, if you'd requested Neil Diamond or Tom Jones, I wouldn't have complied so easily. Decidedly too sappy. I'm so glad we agree.
Joy puts her phone in the space between our seats and her elbow briefly brushes against mine.
But back to my earlier question. How come you hardly ever came round when I was still living with Mum?
I sigh. I did, in the beginning. But after my divorce, Miranda got obsessed with setting me up with one of her friends, kept inviting me round for dinner parties I was loath to attend. So I just stopped coming, I guess.
Oh, Christ. Who did she thrust into your face? Wait, let me guess.
Lionel? She's been trying to pawn him off for as long as I can remember.
Lionel Ashley. That's correct. A nice enough man, but really not my type. In any way. Really, Alice. The man has such a lovely, high-pitched voice, and that lush head of hair. How could you possibly have resisted?
Joy's laugh is infectious. Once she has settled down, I continue my explanation. Then Miranda started seeing Jeff, and there were fewer and fewer dinner parties. Either way, we see each other at work every day. There needs to be some distance.
Yeah.
Joy turns up the volume dial.
This is truly one of the best songs ever made. I completely agree. Have you ever seen him live?
She asks.
No, I never was much of a concert goer.
I have, in Atlantic City in 2005.
It was just mind-blowing,
Joy says, while her head sways to the melody.
You sure do get around.
It's a pity we're having this conversation in the car, and I need to keep my eyes on the road. I'd love to see Joy's facial expressions.
Well, we can't all be homebodies like you, Alice. The economy would go bust.
I contribute plenty to the economy.
Oh, yeah? When did you last splash out on something? I'm on holiday in the Algarve, I retort.
That doesn't count. Surely Mum didn't make you pay.
She didn't. I wanted to, but she refused.
I shake my head.
I contribute to the economy by paying a lot of taxes. You should spoil yourself more. On their deathbed, no one has ever wished they'd worked more.
Joy sounds just like Miranda.
That's a bit grim. Perhaps, but it's also true.
A short silence descends.
Take last night, for instance. Why didn't you join me? Let your hair down a bit. There was no one to judge you but yourself.
Last night, I tried to come up with a decent explanation.
I was tired, and I would never, not in a million years, go into the sea in just my underwear. It's not even conceivable.
Why not?
Because I'm not that kind of person.
What kind of person?
The kind that enjoys life.
I make an elaborate play of overtaking a van that has been driving at a maddeningly slow pace in front of us for miles, hoping the topic will just die. I don't feel like defending myself for simply being who I am.
I'm not attacking you, Alice. I swear, I'm just trying to understand.
You and I are very different people. I grew up in a time when everything was different. Unlike you, I wasn't raised with the belief that the world was my oyster. I can feel Joy's stare boring into me, but I keep looking straight ahead.
I understand that we're different from other generations and all that, but come on. My own mum is older than you, and she's very prone to some hedonism. So, in my humble opinion, it's definitely not just a generational issue.
Of course not. Everyone is different. And I know all about Miranda's hedonism, and the number of days she's taken off because of it since we went into business together. But Miranda's life has always been the opposite of mine.
Mum will kill me if she ever finds out I told you this, but we used to have a running joke in our house. Whenever one of us didn't feel like doing a chore, we'd say, "Better call Alice," because even when Mum was absent from work, you'd still get everything done. Mind you, apart from the joke, Mum has the greatest respect for you. She really appreciates everything you've done for her over the years. I know that much.
It works both ways. I'm not at all offended by Miranda's family's joke.
more flattered than anything, really. Jones and McAllister is our law firm, but from the very beginning I've had to call all the shots, which has allowed me a degree of control I probably wouldn't have had otherwise. And let me guess, Alice McAllister likes being in control. Joy chuckles. By the way, you have to thank me for that. If I hadn't been born when I was, your life might be totally different. You basically owe me, Alice. I don't believe a person owes another anything simply because they exist. Perhaps my voice is more serious than I want it to sound. I was only joking, Joy says quickly. Oh, hold on. If we go off the main road here, I know just the spot for lunch. After a delicious meal of cataplana and grilled squid, during which Joy somehow manages to consume 3 Portuguese beers, which she claims were not strong at all, we approach our destination. The wind is fierce, bringing the temperature way down, and I feel a chill on my skin as I exit the car. This drop in temperature doesn't seem to affect Joy at all as she bounds out of the car, nearly jumping up and down with excitement, the way a child would. This is one of my top spots in the whole wide world. There's just something about it. But you have to see it to believe it. I follow her to a curvy white building that looks a bit like a church. All around us we're surrounded by the bluest of water. We walk through a courtyard with some stalls selling coffee and souvenirs, then end up in front of one of the most stunning views I've ever come across. Blue can't describe the colour of the water, nor of the sky. It's like a condensed version of all the existing blues in the world, intensified by the white of the building flanking the ocean on the top of the cliff where we're standing. Bottom left corner of Europe, Joy says. This can only mean one thing. Selfie time! For the first time since she arrived, and despite having had many an occasion to do so already, I roll my eyes at her. You go ahead, dear. I mean to sound every bit as condescending as I do. Just one picture of the two of us. Joy looks at me like a toddler who wants to beg one more sweet from her parents after they've already closed the packet. For the life of me, I can't refuse her. All right, then. Brilliant. Come on. She opens one arm wide, indicating where I should stand. Her other hand holds the phone at arm's length. I step into her half-embrace, and she clutches my shoulder with her fingers, pulling me close to her. Her body heat is welcome in the brisk wind that blows our hair in all directions. I can feel the side of her breast press into me, and the same sensation as last night, the one I ran away from so ungracefully, hits me with full force again. Smile! Joy says. I try, but I'm not keen to see the result. Okay, we're going to have to do another because you look as though I'm pinching your ass in this one, Joy says. I don't photograph well, I say, scolding myself for letting myself be talked into having a selfie taken. I mean, really. This one's much better. Joy lets go of my shoulder, but not without giving it a gentle squeeze first. Look. She shows me the phone screen. But the sun is too bright, and I'm glad I can't really see the photo. Hmm, is all I say, but Joy is busy on her phone anyway. Let me just upload it to Facebook. You can have one guess as to who will be the first person to like it. I have no earthly idea. I turn to take in the view some more. The ruggedness of the ocean, the vastness of it, allows me to put what I'm feeling into perspective. Either way, it's of no importance. Just some stress release mingling with the frivolity of being on the road with someone so much younger than me, and with such a different view of the world. It's no wonder I'm a bit shaken. Mum, of course. She's even worse than I am. Miranda is on Facebook. Yep, and she's what? 7 years older than you? 8? Meaning? Nothing, Alice. Joy bumps her shoulder into mine. Anyway, all the younger people are moving on to Instagram these days, now that their grandparents are all on Facebook. A vibrating sound stops Joy mid-speech. Ah, here she is already. She unlocks her phone by holding her thumb on a button at the bottom. What did I say? Here, check this. Joy thrusts the phone in my direction, and I see a comment below the picture of Joy and me. Beautiful picture. Glad you two are getting along. Alice, don't forget to relax. Instant attention and gratification, I say, pushing the getting along part of the comment to the back of my brain as quickly as possible. Is that why these, technologies are so popular? It's just a bit of fun, and it keeps Mum happy that she can follow me around. At least, she thinks she does. You should see my Instagram account. Despite myself, my curiosity is piqued. You'll have to show it to me then. Joy clearly wasn't expecting that reply. I will. Tonight. Promise. She draws her eyes into slits as she scans my face. When did you come here last? I ask, eager for a change of subject, and to not have Joy look at me any more the way she's doing now. Not too long ago. I make a point of coming here every time I visit Portugal. There's something about standing at the edge of the world that, I don't know, frees me of all the bullshit that life brings. The wind, the azure of the sea, the pureness of it. It levels me somehow. I can fully relate to Joy's words. She's not that much of a brat then. Dad loved it here as well. We used to come here, just the two of us. Stay for hours while, usually, tourists tend to come and go pretty quickly. We'd have a coffee or an ice cream, then sometimes crawl down those rocks there. She points to her right, to a precarious spot on the slope of the hill where a brave fisherman has set up. You went down there? How did you manage that? Fearlessness, I guess, and a little arrogance. Definitely the Perkins side of the family. I can imagine Paul clambering down. It does sound like something he would have done. Can I buy you an ice cream? I offer. Only if we climb down afterwards, Joy says. My limbs stiffen at the thought. Only kidding. Joy flashes me a wide smile. But I will have that ice cream. On the way back, Joy nods off. Before she drifted off into sleep, she put on A Darkness on the Edge of Town, and I hum along to the lyrics, surprising myself by remembering the full chorus and singing along to it without hesitation. Out of the wind and with the steady thrum of the car, I feel a drowsiness settling in my bones despite the two espressos I drank before we left, and this day out has given me a new kind of energy, a buzz humming underneath my skin, like a neon light flickering to life. Only four more days with Joy, I find myself thinking. Whatever will I do with myself when she's gone? Chapter 6. After dinner, Joy initiates me into the secrets of Instagram. She shows me picture after picture, all of them spectacular looking and boasting amazing colours, of her in various spots in London. One at Miranda's house, one at a bar called Saks in East London, one of her cuddling an adorably fluffy puppy. This is Alex, she says, when we reach a picture of her and another woman. I had expected someone similar in age to Joy and, perhaps also, similar in looks, but the woman in the picture looks nothing like Joy. For starters, she's at least in her late 30s, if not early 40s, and is dressed up in a pantsuit and crisply ironed blouse. Wow, I say. What's that supposed to mean? I sense a small shift in Joy's energy, like she's going on the defense, like a secret has been unearthed. She's not what I had expected, that's all. What had you expected? Joy puts the phone on the table. Gosh, I really don't know. Like you said earlier in the car, we barely know each other, so it's hard to say. She reaches for the bottle of wine and pours herself another glass. I stopped keeping count a few hours ago, quickly realizing there's no point. I'm sorry, it's just that you sounded a lot like Mum just then. She gazes into the dark liquid in her glass. How so? It's only natural, though, I think, considering my connection to Miranda and how close in age we are. When I told her about Alex, she said the exact same thing, that she wasn't what she had expected. At last, Joy drinks. Because she's older than you, or because she's a woman? Joy sets her glass down and rubs her palm over her forehead. She was my boss. It was bad judgment on both our parts. I quit, so she didn't have to fire me. I'm not a keen watcher of soap operas, but this is beginning to sound like one. Christ. I'm also beginning to think that Miranda might not have such an issue with her daughter's sexual preference as with her taste in partners. Was she your, female partner? God, no. I started dating women when I was at UCLA. It was so easy to hide it from Mum. She wasn't on Facebook yet back then. There's room for a small chuckle. I only told her when I moved back to London, and I started seeing someone seriously. She didn't approve of Tamsin either, even though she was a barrister. I'm starting to understand why people enjoy dramatic television so much. To completely let go of their own woes and focus on someone else's is so liberating for the mind. I do, however, notice that Joy is in distress. For someone so confident and loud-mouthed at first, she's struggling to find the words now. How old was Tamsin? I might be wrong, but I think I may have detected a pattern. 36 at the time. Really, not that much older than me. I quickly do the calculation in my head and disagree. What happened? Why did it end? I might as well know it all now. She had huge problems with the fact that I was still living with Mum at my age. But I was only 26 and had just moved back to the UK. Personally, I think that's completely understandable, what with the ludicrous rental prices and all that. I was just taking my time after leaving the States, just chilling a bit before finding a job. In the end, it felt more like having two mothers. I'm so sorry, Joy. I empty my own glass of wine. I have a burning question on my mind, but need more liquid courage before I can even contemplate asking it. Oh, it's fine. I'm not really looking for anything serious anyway. I'd prefer to get settled in my new job first. She pulls up her shoulders. Coming here was a good idea, although I hadn't expected to have these sorts of conversations with you, Alice, I must admit. I've always been a good listener. And you like Bruce Springsteen. Under the table, she bumps her knee against mine. But enough about me. Let's talk about you. How long have you been divorced? Ages, right? Since before I left for the States. You must have had some romance in your life after Alan. Not really. I'm so unaccustomed to speaking about my own feelings, I had thought it would be more difficult. Lionel certainly didn't float my boat. I admit to myself that I'm trying to elicit a snort from her. There was this solicitor from Chauncey and Wagner who took me out on a few dates. His name was Pierre, although he wasn't French, but I guess I wasn't forthcoming enough to keep him interested. Goodness, Alice, what do you mean by that? You didn't put out? Joy is giggling now. I honestly don't know, but that's how I label it. To put my mind at ease, but if I'm truly honest, I just didn't want another Alan. We didn't have the best marriage, but certainly not the worst I've seen either. When he left me, simply discarded me for that woman, it hurt to become this huge cliché. It wasn't just that he left, and I was alone, but it wounded my pride also, and it left me deeply skeptical of humans in general. Joy is no longer chuckling. Well, fuck him, Alice. Really, fuck him. It's all a bit more complex than just leaving me for someone 10 years younger than me. Other factors were in play, to give him a little bit of credit. Fuck credit, Alice. He doesn't deserve it. He's not a monster. He's the man I married. The person I believed I'd spend the rest of my life with, but really, there are no guarantees simply because you exchange vows in front of your friends and family. As soon as I'd signed the divorce papers, I knew I would never marry again. But now, 15 years later, I don't blame him for leaving me. We should have been more open with each other before we married. But back then, people got married so young, just to be able to move out of their parents' house. I'm surely to blame as well. Relationships are complicated. Joy puts her feet on the chair opposite. Although I do believe that they don't necessarily have to be. I think the less complicated, the more chance of success. Even though, of course, I hardly have the track record to prove my theory. Or, in fact, I do. Every relationship I've ever had has always been too complicated. It was never as simple as girl liking girl, falling in love, building a life together. I often ask myself why, you know?
Why do I fall for these women whom, in hindsight, I should have so easily suspected of not being a good fit for me? You're young, Joy. You're learning, discovering your likes and dislikes. I think it's good that you haven't settled down yet, but, I'm glad the candle in the middle of the table is dying so the blush on my cheeks is hidden. What? Joy has finished her glass of wine again. Perhaps Miranda should be more worried about the amount of wine her daughter can put away than about the age of her suitors. No need to be shy any more now, Alice. You do seem to have a propensity for falling for older women. Joy just cocks her head in acquiescence. True, I do. Even in college, I was always lusting after my professors instead of my roommates. It's been like that for as long as I can remember, being interested in other people amorously and sexually. I don't really know how to explain it, but I find older women so much sexier than women my own age, let alone younger ones. It's just my preference, I guess. I'm a real cougar lover, me. A what? I'm confused again.